Good morning. What a great joy it is to welcome each and every one of you as we come together this day and are welcomed in God's house, in God's kingdom. Indeed, it is our hope and our prayer that we will experience the presence of God in some new and some different ways as we share together. May the peace of Christ be with you. Let us rise and pass the peace of Christ to our neighbor.
Good morning. Everybody seems lively today. That's good. The sun's shining. We all feel good. It's not too hot yet. Red register pad is at the edge of the pew toward the center aisle. Please sign in and let us know you're here today. If you notice someone is not here that usually is, please give them a call and see how they're doing. Maybe they're on vacation. Maybe they're going on vacation and want to take you with them. Okay. For anybody with kids, I don't see too many kids today, but there are little welcome packets in the back or little things to play with, something to do in the pews while they're trying to endure church. And there are also welcome packets for visitors today, so please help yourself to those that are out on the shepherd's hook. If you have any prayer requests in the sign-in booklet, there should be some note cards. You can let your request be made known and put it in the end of the pew, and they'll pick it up on the ushers will pick it up. Okay. Does someone else want to make an announcement? For those of you who don't know, this is Zach, our youth leader.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It is with great joy and sadness that I'm here to announce this morning that I have been offered a job in Toledo, Ohio, and I have accepted the position. It is at Maumee United Methodist Church, and it is... you laugh every time I say Maumee. It is not spelled M-O-M-M-Y. It's M-A-U-M-M-E-E. I'll get it by the time I move there. But I have accepted the position as their new youth director, and I will be leaving on August 11th. My last day here will be August 9th.
I had hoped that Zach's tenure here would outlast mine. But that's not to be. So Staff Parish has already been working with Zach and sending out the job description, not only for the youth ministry area, but also Zach has been blessing us Saturday evenings where he has cared for the music in our alternative service. And so there's going to be a double whammy missing. But those will be, the staff parish will be continuing to search for that. We reassured people last evening at the Saturday night service that that will continue. Things will change a little bit, but it will continue to move ahead. So that mixed feeling, but you know, in today's world, when you go from two less than full-time positions and are offered a full-time position, you got to grab it. And we knew that eventually that would happen. So let us join in prayer as we pray for Zach in his new journey. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful for your servant in Zach, for his passion, for his love for the youth and the parents here in this church, for his love for music and offering a contemporary style. We pray for your blessing upon him, and we pray for a double portion of your spirit to go with him and before him as he begins this new endeavor. We pray, O God, for the churches here that are going to lose him, but we pray for that church that's going to receive him. We pray for the hearts and minds and spirits of all involved that there might be a sense of peace, a sense of joy and celebration as this new journey and chapter begins for Zach. Bless us all, O God. Give us traveling mercies as he comes and goes and makes those last and final preparations. O God, we pray in the midst of it all that we might have a sense of peace. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen. Thanks, Zach. So one of the things Zach has to do in the next 3 weeks,
more like two.
2 weeks, is find a place to live. But thankfully, goodness for these new technologies of Google and Google Maps that shows the place. Showed me one last night where everybody was waving at the Google camera and out on the streets waving. I thought, not so sure. So, blessing, Zach.
Are there any other announcements? Okay, let's continue with our worship service. Please stand and join in the call to worship. Come, sisters and brothers, rejoice in God's glory.
We give praise to God's immense love.
Come, sisters and brothers, sing of God's riches.
We are blessed to give God's love.
Come, sisters and brothers, celebrate the Spirit's calling.
We give thanks.
Let's join in the unison prayer. Come and dwell in us, Christ Jesus. Plant a seed of love in our hearts and in our lives, that the strong root of love may grow within us. Transform each one of us. Transform this church. transform the world. In faith and love, we pray. Amen. Please turn to hymn number 98, To God Be the Glory. Join him.
Please be seated. Good morning, sweetie. How are you? Brother going to be a little bashful today. Oh, here comes another little girl. Yay! Good morning. How are you two? You having a good summer? Have you done anything exciting? Two birthday parties. Did you have two birthdays? Just one. How old?
Seven.
And did you have cake and ice cream? You know, at the early service, there were four children up here, and they went out to get ice cream last night with their grandmas and grandpas. And Kerber's was closed. I don't know why. It was closed all day, so they had to go elsewhere. And they got twists with rainbow sprinkles. Sound good? I don't have one today, though. Do you like an ice cream cone? Do you start to eat it from the top or the bottom? The top. What happens if you eat it from the bottom? The rice ice cream will drip all over you, and then your clothes get messy. So what would happen if we go to the ice cream store and they say there's only enough ice cream for one cone? What are we going to do if there's the three of us? All get a little bit. Like I'd take a lick and then you'd get a lick. And then you'd get a lick and then I'd get a lick. That's probably not the best way.
Use
a spoon. There you go. Spoon's a little better. Or, and if we could get a little dishes and we could put three clumps of ice cream and then break the cone into three pieces. And we'd all get a little bit. Wouldn't that be fun? That'd be the good way to do it. Well, you know, there's a story today about Jesus. And there's a big bunch of people following him. And there wasn't enough food. It'd be like one ice cream cone and all these people. But Jesus made the ice cream cone so everybody gets an ice cream cone. He made 5,000 people with five little loaves of bread and two fish. And Jesus could make enough ice cream out of one cone so everybody gets a dish of ice cream. Isn't that pretty neat? So we need to remember there's nothing that Jesus can't do. When we feel a little scared, pray to Jesus. When we're not sure what to do, pray to Jesus. When we think, oh, I need some help, pray to Jesus. He's there. Let's bow for prayer. Lord God, for these girls, we are grateful. And we know that you are always there. And Jesus, we are thankful that we're never alone. You're always with us to help us, to do wonderful things in our lives. And so bless these girls that they might live and grow for you. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
When you're up against a wall, and your mountain seems so tall, and you realize life's not always fair, you can run away and hide, let the old man decide, or you can change your circumstances with a prayer. When everything falls apart, praise his name. When you have a broken heart, raise your hands and say, Lord, you're all I need. You're everything to me, and he'll take the pain away. When it seems you're all alone, praise his name. And you feel you can't go on, raise your hands and say, greater is he that is within me. You can praise the hurt away. If you'll just praise his name, you can overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. Darkness go as your faith begins to grow. You're not alone. Why do you feel lonely? When everything falls apart, praise his name. When you have a broken heart, raise your hands and say, Lord, you're all I need. You're everything to me, and He'll take the pain away. When it seems you're all alone, praise His name. And when you feel you can't go on, raise your hands and say, greater is He that is within me. And you can praise the hurt away. Greater is He that is within me, and you can praise the hurt away. If you'll just praise His name.
Thank you, Becky. That was good. Now, if you would turn in your hymn book in the back on page 746, we'll read responsively Psalm number 14. Fools say in their hearts, there is no God.
They are corrupt. They do not know peace. There is none that does good.
The Lord looks down from heaven on all people, to see if there are any that are wise who seek after God.
They have all gone astray. They are all like perverse. There is none that does good, no, not one.
Have they no knowledge, the evildoers who eat up my people as they eat bread and do not call upon the Lord?
There they shall be. God is with the generation of the righteous.
You would confound the plans of the poor, but the Lord is their refuge.
When the Lord restores their fortune, Jacob shall rejoice and Israel shall be glad.
At this time, the ushers will come forward for God's tithes and our offerings.
Thank you.
God of miracles, you are continually working wonders. We are amazed by your extravagant love and kindness. You invite us to be mindful of everything that you have provided. Free us from worrying about what we do not have. Open our eyes to recognize your children who are in need. May these gifts bountifully bless those in our community. We pray through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Please be seated. We come now to that time in our service, that great privilege of praying for situations and families and friends and brothers and sisters. Listed in your worship folder this morning are Christian sympathy to the death of their sister who passed this week, Mary Ann Shea. And the additional flowers are from her funeral, which was Thursday. And Ed, with the death of his brother, Don Brown, who passed away recently. So we want to remember those individuals. Some of you may also know or saw in the news this week the young lady that died at Keystone Park. That was Dale and Shirley Peckman's granddaughter, Megan, 29 years old. She had had some cardiac problems, and it appears that she had a heart attack and fell into the water and then drowned. Her funeral is going to be here on Tuesday, but I'm not going to be doing that because I'm going to be on my way to Florida. With Abigail. So continue to remember that family who has now had three deaths since January, I believe, or I guess Dale was last fall, but three deaths within about a 9 or 10 month time period within their lives. Some other additions here, Ken, to remember him, and the John family, to remember them as well. Of course, we have the list of individuals listed on the back of our worship folder as well. And then those individuals on our hearts and minds and spirits and those situations around the world that are near and dear to our hearts. So let us continue as we unite our voices together in our prayer hymn this morning, number 175, Jesus, the Very Thought of Thee. Gracious and loving God, how good it is to be in your home, to be sitting with brothers and sisters, to come here to celebrate the gifts and the blessings that we've received in the days and the weeks past. To come, O God, to say thanks and to worship you, to be your faithful servants and children to the world, to come here to experience your grace and your forgiveness, because we know, O God, that you are slow to anger and you are abounding in steadfast love. O God, we are grateful for the gifts and blessings that have been showered upon us and those that we will receive in the days and the weeks ahead. Gifts from you to be used as blessings for others. Oh God, may we always remember this, that the gifts and blessings that you shower upon us are to be used as a part of our mission and ministry to the world, to meet those hurts and needs, to share in those joys and celebrations, to boldly go where no one else wants to go. That is our calling as your children, as Christians, as your servants to the world. Oh God, we know that we don't always get it right, that there are those things in the world that call us, that trip us up, that pull us in so many different directions, and, well, sin creeps in. And we don't always act, do, and say what we should. Forgive us. And now, O God, it is wiped away, never again to be thought of by you. So we pray for your presence to continually bless and anoint us for strength and encouragement as we live out our callings in the world. We pray also this day for our brothers and sisters, those, O God, who are hurting and grieving the loss of loved ones, those, O God, who are celebrating a new life, for those events that are bringing joy and celebration that are right around the corner. We pray, O God, for the hurts and the needs of those who are upon our thoughts, our minds, and our spirits. We pray for your peace, for your healing, for your comfort. We pray for your wholeness. We pray, O God, for the ministry that is represented here this day by individuals and by families. Ministry that is not taking place within the walls of this church, but outside the walls in the community. For that, O God, is where you call us to be. And so it is our hope and our prayer that our daily lives and living will be no different from who we are right now and who we will be on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. O God, may we be that which you call us and empower us to be. O God, we ask and pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who has taught us to say when we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we make preparations to hear these words from the sixth chapter 6 of John's Gospel. I would invite you, if you are able, to please stand. Remember last week in the scripture I said that passage it was missing had to deal with the feeding of the 5,000. Well, here is John's story. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw signs, the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now, Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. And when Jesus looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we going to buy bread to feed all of these people?" Imagine the panic that went through Philip. Jesus said this to test him, for he himself already knew what it was that he was going to do. And Philip answered him, 6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little. And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "Here is a boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people?" And Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments, the leftovers, so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." And when Jesus realized that they were about to come and to take him by force and make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come. The sea became rough because of a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Then they wanted to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the land toward which they were going. May God's blessing rest upon the reading and the hearing of these holy words for us this day, for they are the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful for these words of Scripture, for their teaching and claim upon our daily lives and living. May they take root within each and every one of us, O God. We pray now for a sense of rest and peace from the activities of daily life and living, those things past, present, and yet to come. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, may they be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our rock and our redeemer. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen. There were those times in Jesus' life when he wanted to withdraw from the crowd himself. He needed a break. He needed to commune with God and the Holy Spirit to be refueled and rejuvenated. He is trying to get his disciples away, and it just will not happen. He was under conscious strain and needed some rest. He's in need of some time for prayer. And so Jesus takes this band of disciples into the hills to sit with them, and he looks up, and there is a crowd of people coming. I read these words this past week. A man stood at the crossing by the stoplight. He had a heavy beard and coarse clothing. A dog was tied to the light post. And in his hands, he held a cardboard sign that said, "We'll work for food." This person also says that traveling across the state of Montana, I discovered a whole family in the same predicament. They would stop at rest stops and post a letter in the restroom explaining their dilemma. They had lost their jobs, lost their home. They had family in Wisconsin, but they had no money for food or gas. Could we help them on their way? I was coming out of the Giant Eagle parking lot this past week and going somewhere on Route 30, and there was a man standing by the sign with a son. Single dad, no job, 2, 3, 4 kids, need money. Will you help me? God bless. Just a couple days ago, I was coming down Route 30 and in the turning lane to turn left into the Giant Eagle complex. And as I'm sitting there, everybody that's coming around out of the other plaza, they're all looking over my shoulder. And I'm thinking, what's over there? And so since I'm still stopped, I started rubbernecking myself. And there I see the side profile of a blonde-haired young lady. And I'm sure she had a sign, but I have no idea what it said. What do we do when we are faced with people who have a need? We'll work for food. Perhaps Jesus gives us some indication in the opening verses of this chapter of what we're to do. Faced with a hungry crowd of 5,000 people, a group of doubtful followers, a food pantry that's minimal, he took what he had and he fed those 5,000 hungry people. There was no rationing, no rules, no prohibitions against seconds and thirds. Just eat as much as you want and don't worry about anybody else. And when they finished, there was a pickup truck load of groceries left over. When they saw what he had done, there was no doubt in their minds, this is indeed the prophet who has come into the world. Now, in John's gospel, we are faced with a God and a Jesus Christ who are totally extravagant. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became one of us and walked among us. 6 large jars of water turned into 6 large jars of the best wine. Do you know that in this time period of Jesus' day, when the wine gave out, the wedding party stopped? And to run out prematurely was an embarrassment to the family. Mark Lowry says in his comedy routine, part of this, he says. So Jesus is there at the wedding, and his mom comes up to him. Mary comes up and says, "Jesus, they have no wine." And he says, "Woman, now don't ever, ever refer to your mom that way or your wife. Woman, that'll get you into trouble really quickly. What do you want me to do?" And she turns and says to the servants, "You do whatever he tells you to do." And of course, we know that then that water was turned into wine. But have you ever realized that Jesus' very first miracle of turning the water into wine was just to keep that party going? That's a celebration. 5 loaves and 2 fish then, feeding 5,000 people. With 12 baskets left over. And then there's a story of the disciples in a boat fishing where the boat is about to sink because it is filled with so many fish. 153, the scriptures tell us, but then who's counting? God has been totally extravagant in the giving to each and every one of us the gift of life through his Son, Jesus Christ. And so now what do we do with a person? What do we do with a sign that says, "We'll work for food"? What do we do when we see a homeless person? What do we do when we see someone with a sign looking for assistance? What do we do when we see on the TV homes and lives devastated by hunger, by poverty, by floods, by storms, by war? What do we do when we see the hurting, the neglected, the lost, the lonely, the unloved, the abused, the outcast? Each of which is a person created by God and therefore our brother or our sister. In the Clergy Journal, a magazine I receive, I read this prayer. "Fairest Lord Jesus, what a difference you make when you enter a life. The difference is found in Jesus' first miracle in Cana. First, the need must be known to Jesus. They have no wine. Then there must be obedience to Jesus' command. Fill the jars with water. And what are the results? A quality of life from water to the best wine, a manifestation of Jesus' glory and faith in the disciples." Jesus' miracle can result in our becoming a miracle. Amen. And I wore this shirt for a reason. This is this year's work trip shirt. And when you just read the words initially, you see, "Believe there is good in the world." But if you look at the first letter of just a couple words, "Be the good in the world." My friends, we all need a new spirit, where we are willing to lay down our lives to be concerned about the emotional, physical, mental, spiritual needs of our brothers and sisters. Oh God, help us. Might we experience a miracle? Might we be the miracle that is sent into the world? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful for the good news today. With the power and presence of Jesus Christ within us, all things are possible. We can expect a miracle, we can be a miracle. And we can be a part of that which you desire to change, to transform, and to make new. Oh God, bless us. Change us, transform us, and use us. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 393. We are going to sing it through two times. Spirit of the Living God. 393. Gracious and loving God, you can create a miracle in the lives of each and every one of us as you fall fresh and new. Give us a new sense of mission and ministry, O God, in and to the world, as you send us forth in the name of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.